to Rachel about the increase of domestic violence around Christmas time. Is it the fact that there's a lot of drink flowing? Families spend a lot of time together, get on one another's nerves, basically. Is that what it is, do you think? What reasons, you know, do we hear about domestic violence?
I think drink can exacerbate a problem, but it's important to realise that drink doesn't cause domestic abuse at all. Lots of us maybe have too much to drink occasionally and don't then become abusive to our partners. So I think it's important that people recognise that that's not the the cause of the issue. Drink can obviously make things worse on occasion, and obviously that is a time of year when perhaps there's more stress around people spending more time together than they would normally. And I think also we have big expectations about Christmas and we want it to be a perfect day, and perhaps you know, that does lead to more pressure. But you know, domestic abuse is not about people falling out about the remote control. We're talking about much more serious issues than that. And we find then in January, it's one of our busiest times, when people have separated after Christmas, because nobody really wants to leave just before Christmas, and we find that we get lots more clients in January than any other time of the year.
Well, we hear the term domestic violence, we automatically think of you know, men committing violence against women, but it goes both ways, doesn't it? You know, men can easily end up the victims of domestic abuse, and people in same-sex relationships.
Yeah, that's true. Although predominantly the vast majority of repeat incidents of violence, when we look at those, we are looking at those being committed by men against women. But men can be victims, and I think sometimes it's possibly harder for them to come forward because they feel more ashamed of it, that it shouldn't happen to them as a man. So it's something that we are aware of, and that we do need to reach out to those victims.
Did people turn a blind eye, do you think, sometimes to...
Yeah, I think it's something that has been around. I don't think there's any more domestic abuse around now than there was 20, 30 years ago. It's just that we're more aware of it. It's something that people used to see as being nobody else's business. Even the police would say that. Whereas now, I think more so we recognise that it is against the law, that it is wrong, that it is abuse. And I would like to see more people stepping in and actually challenging behaviour. We often have cases where we will approach neighbours to say, you've overheard incidents, you've rung the police. And more often than not, they just don't want to get involved and they won't give witness statements. And I'd like to change that.
But it can be quite intimidating for people, can't it, Rachel? And I think it has to, the change has to come from institutions first. Like, I know you do a lot of training with the police. That has to happen.
Yeah.
Because it has to become accepted by large institutions that it's wrong. Because people don't want to get involved in other people's business or be drawn into it or even feel threatened themselves.
But people are far more likely to intervene in the street with a stranger attacking another stranger, but for some reason when it's that person's partner we seem to think that that's okay, and I just don't get that. To me that's actually an abuse of trust, and is worse. If you were to steal from your employer you will be punished more because you break the trust, and to me it's exactly the same within a relationship. And of course we don't want people to put themselves at risk, but it's just about speaking out and challenging that behaviour rather than looking the other way, really.
So that's your next campaign, is it, Rachel?
Yep, don't look the other way.
There we are. She's a good campaigner, is Rachel, aren't you, Rachel? I see that a date's been announced for the new offence, coercive control, to go live. It's the 29th of December. It'll see this new offence launched with regard to domestic violence. And I know it's something you've actively campaigned for, isn't it, Rachel?
Yeah.
Tell us what coercive control is and what effect the new powers will have from December.
Well, coercive control is a form of domestic violence. What we're looking at really is emotional abuse rather than physical. At the moment, only physical abuse can be prosecuted. So things like financial abuse and psychological abuse, it's currently pretty much impossible to prosecute. So I had a client, for example, that was forced to eat all of her meals out of a dog bowl on the floor. that was reported to the police. She was told, well, come back when he hits you, because actually we can't do anything about that. And currently that's still the case. So until the 29th of December, the police can't prosecute for incidents like that. Things like monitoring somebody's time, timing how long it takes them to go to the shop, restricting their movement and freedom, reading all the text messages, hacking into their Facebook account. It's those types of kind of extreme behaviours. What the law says is that there has to be two incidents of that type of controlling or coercive behaviour, and then there can be a prosecution, and the maximum sentence is 5 years.
And Rachel, can you just clarify, what if these things have been going on over the past few years? Mm-hmm. Will the police be able to prosecute for that, or is it only incidents moving forward from the 29th of December?
Unfortunately, it's only incidents that occur after the 29th of December. You can use the other incidents previously to set the scene, but they can't be used as the specific incidents within the criminal offence, unfortunately.
Right, well, we'll come back after the news at 3. Rachel Horman and Gary Rycroft. And Gary, you've been involved, I think, in an interesting case surrounding social media. We've talked about this many times, social media. Someone's digital legacy. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, this was a case involving a young lady called Holly Gazzard. And sadly, she was murdered by her ex-boyfriend. The relationship ended. He carried on stalking her, and it's an all too familiar story. He carried on stalking to her. He went to her place of work. She was a hairdresser, and she was stabbed to death at her place of work in Gloucester. He was convicted of murder. He's now behind bars, I'm pleased to say, for a long time. And Holly's family, mum, dad, sister, obviously coming to terms with a lot of issues there. And in fact, Holly's dad, Nick, just as a side issue, has done a lot of work with Rachel since in campaigning for awareness about stalking, and he does training with the police to raise awareness. And he's thrown himself into this in a very positive way in terms of turning an awful situation into something positive, because he wants to make the situation better for people that come after Holly. But as an aside to that, there was an ongoing issue with Holly's Facebook account, because when you die, your options with Facebook are that you can freeze the account as is. It becomes a online memorial to the person who's died, or it can be taken down altogether. Now, Holly's family didn't want either of those options, because they didn't want it taken down, because Holly's family and friends like to go and look at the website on Facebook and look at pictures of her and post things about her. It's the way people grieve nowadays, actually, in many ways, especially younger people. But they didn't want it leaving as is, because there were lots of photographs of Holly's ex-boyfriend who had killed her on the profile. So every time her profile came up, mum, dad, sister, friends were looking at pictures of this guy who had carried out this horrendous crime against her. So Facebook wouldn't budge. They said it's one or two options, leave it as it is or take it down. And Holly's family didn't want that. I was called in, actually, as part of a regional TV programme in Bristol, Inside Out West, which is the same, same as our local programme here, Inside Northwest, Inside Out Northwest. And they had me down to Bristol to talk to Holly's dad. And I said, well, look, the photographs we're talking about, Holly took them herself. During her lifetime, she had copyright of those pictures. Now that's passed to you as her successors. You can contact Facebook and say, we are withdrawing copyright of those pictures. So we want you to keep the profile on, but we're withdrawing the right for you to publish those pictures. And actually, Facebook agreed with that legal analysis. So it was a real victory for, most importantly, Holly's family. So the pictures have been taken down now, and they can look at her profile. But actually, it's a precedent that's been set for other people in that situation. Rachel and I have been talking about how we can talk about that more and help people in that similar situation. So a little victory, but hopefully it might have a ripple effect.
Great job.
It'd be good to come back to that in the new year again when you're in. Christmas almost here, though. Gary, the shopping's in full.